Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Hallelujah. Father God, we just welcome your spirit into this place. Holy Spirit, fall upon us this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Hallelujah. Father, we worship your name. Hallelujah. Just stand up and start worshiping him. Father, we worship you. We come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are great, that you are mighty. You are a faithful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know what you're doing, Lord. We worship your name, God. You know what you're doing, Father. We worship your name. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Father God. You are great, Father God. You are great. We worship your name. We worship your name. We worship your name. We lift up our hearts to you, Lord. We open our hearts to you, Lord. We open our spirits to you, Lord. We open our ears to you, Father God. We open our eyes to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you are speaking to us this morning. Thank you for what you're saying to us this morning, Father. We receive all that you have for us. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us through another great week, Lord, to another great Sunday, Father. We worship your name. We worship your name. We worship your name. You are a great God. Hallelujah. You are a great God. Great God, you are a mighty God. We worship you. Hallelujah. Sing all together. Oh Lord, my God.
Dude.
Oh, when Christ shall come, when Christ.
Every praise is to our God. we honor you. We give you glory, Lord, as we come to honor you, Jesus. You are wonderful. You are worthy. Oh, Lord, you are wonderful. Yeah. You are worthy. Oh, Lord, you are wonderful. You are worthy. Praise, you are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. Now we give you glory.
I come to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God of heaven and earth. There is none like you, Jesus. There's none like you. You're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, all the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We look at you, Lord, for all our needs. And there's needs in the world, Lord. There are many needs in the world. And the one part that is coming up to me is Ukraine. Father God, we ask you to have mercy upon Ukraine. Have mercy upon that country, Lord, and Poland, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you will move mightily. We dissemble the activities of the enemy. We send the word forth as a sharp sword to cut through the fiery darts of the enemy. No more will he reign over Ukraine. We say you are cut down, destroyed by the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All the enemy's lies are exposed. We thank you, Father God, that the enemy that comes in, they cannot do nothing. They can't speak. They can't do nothing. And Father God, Ukraine is invisible to the forces of darkness. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray in the spirit for Ukraine. We ask you, Father, heal the land. Amen. And for a time like this, Father God, you have predestined Gloria Peace Church from the foundations of the earth that we would expose the enemy's lies, that we will break the stronghold of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. No longer will it exist in that land. People are suffering. We say no to the enemy. We say the power of God is coming down now in the name of Jesus. No more. Enough is enough in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God. You will heal the people's minds and emotions, their spiritual well-being, their bodies, Lord, are coming forth alive. We say transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, as they are in the far-off land, and many of their relatives have been moved around. Father God, Canada, United States, and other countries, we say we draw them back to the homeland. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of wickedness in Moscow, Lord. Remove all wickedness. Remove all wickedness from them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your healing power is available in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord over the land in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to bring out a scripture here. As Jesus, he rides into Jerusalem, he comes in on a colt, on an ass. It says here, The disciples went, and as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the ways. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna in the highest! God, praise you, Jesus! And further down in Scripture it says, and when the priest and scribe saw the wonderful things that he did, they saw in the temple the children crying in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. Can I have all the youth here? All the youth, please come up. And if there's babies, bring the babies up now. Come, and we're going to complete this session in the name of Jesus. Do we have all the youth and the babies here too? Is everybody here? The babies need to be here too. Please bring in the babies. Pray in the spirit till we get everybody here. Very, very important. Very important that we're in one accord for Jesus. Jesus is Lord over the body of Christ in this house. I say, come, Jesus, come. We worship you. We worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords, the great I am. Oh, are all the babies here? Thank you, Jesus. We would like the children. The children must come out and say, Hosanna! 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 Keep on! Hosanna! Hosanna! Father God, we break every chain of the enemy. We can have the young ones walking around with their leaders. If their leaders are there to help walk around the church, we break every chain, break every chain, break every chain of the enemy over the Ukraine. We break the chains off in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord and Savior, God Almighty, heaven and earth. Jesus, Jesus. We call Jesus, heal the land. Jesus, Jesus. Hosanna, we cry out to you. Out into the heavenlies, hear our voices. Our voice goes forth like a mighty thunder to the land of Ukraine. Heal, restore, make whole.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
I believe.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
And worship team, I would just like you to sit down for a bit, and then I'll pray over the children and dismiss them. I just want to, yeah, if you can all just sit down here for 1 minute with the children, and then it won't take, it's off. It's just so that everybody gets the message. It's just a short one. Yeah, you can sit down now if you like. Oh, the children can sit down if they like. I'm just going to give a very brief message, and then I'll dismiss the children. Okay, yeah, it won't take long. blessed the body of Christ to be together at this time because, well, we are in one accord. And it's very important. So we have the mothers, the grandparents, the children, everybody together. At this occasion, as we prayed for Ukraine, the Lord showed me it was very, very important to hear the cries of the children also. We are hooking up with heaven and bringing the will of the Father down to earth. We must all be spiritually aware of things. And there's a, they talk in scripture about being spiritually fit. To be spiritually fit, you're going to need to read the word. You need to renew your mind at all times. You could be doing many things in the church, be really active, but not knowing even the scripture of the Bible, not praying and doing a lot of things that you're just not doing. There is more, there's the effect of it is on Jesus, the foundation. He's the cornerstone. He is the foundation that we stand on. And we just declare that each person in this congregation is aware of that. And that I ask you, Father God, let the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, fear of the Lord be on each person here. That we are in prayer. We are in the word. Without the word, you can do nothing. It may seem so, you might see people shaking their hands and everything else, and they're lost. They're just enjoying the music. When we're in the spirit, yes, we do enjoy the music. We're worshiping God in spirit and truth. There's a difference. So I thank you, Father God, that the word will come alive. Arise, arise, awake up out of your sleep, says the Lord. Do the things that are fitting, spiritual fitness. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, that in our church, if we look at the church, it's like one big pie. But in each section, there's divisions of departments. And in that, we all have a specific part of it. And that we are connected together in the department that you're in. But we are also connected in the full scope of the church. That we move then in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Father, that you will say, well done, my beloved sons and daughters. You have completed the commission that you have been sent to do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. I ask you to bless all the children here in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that they will be in the perfect will of God. Father God, they have a boldness to speak the gospel. And Father God, they will mature and increase in stature with God and man, favor with God and man. They will excel above their classmates. They will do great things for the church. Thank you, Father. They are grounded in this church, and the Lord is well pleased. Thank you, Father God. You're opening doors for something else to happen. As things are set and open, the days of the suddenlies happen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are a working organism, as Pastor Zeno said, in the body of Christ. It talks about it. Ephesians says there are many apostles. There are pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers that are in here, Lord. This church is also far bigger than this. We have a church in Toronto. We have to be aware that Apostle Mike is also a bishop over different churches in Africa, and he is well wanted. We have the privilege of being in this church to have hand in hand coming together with him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. When I read the book of John the other day, it was the beginning of John. It says, it was 1 John. It says, John was speaking in an epistle, and he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Peter, James, and John went into the high mountain with Christ. He asked them to come. It was a private occasion. They were part of the apostles. There was a reason for them coming into the high mountain, the mountain of transfiguration. They saw things that nobody else saw. But what did Jesus say? Say nothing to no man. Sometimes we can't understand why we don't say certain things, because certain things people cannot chew on. So we do it at the set time of the Father. We pray about it, and when things need to come out, it's not everything. It's just set things that need to come out at a certain time. It's the timing of the Father. And when scripture is read to you, don't say, I heard that scripture again. The scriptures go in abounds. They minister you in different ways. Some people cannot read, and some people don't have a Bible. So they just can't do it. But there's also, you know the scripture. You say, yeah, I know the scripture. Well, I done that too when I was a younger Christian. No, that's not what we do. It's not that I heard it again. Did you hear it and do it? Or you hear it, the people that do the scripture are the ones that the Father says, blessed are you. Thank you for, listening to the word and do it. We be wise people. We stand on that mountain, the solid rock foundation of Jesus. There's no other foundation we can stand on. You can try anything. It will collapse, sinking sand. Everything you do in the church, in ministry, pray about it. If you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues. And then we minister to people. We come together in one accord like this. Everybody, for the love of the brethren, we're here. Because of the love we have for one another, the love that we have for people that need help. In the name of Jesus, there's many divisions that are in the church. Many offices that will come about and are there already. When I put a list of all the departments in the church, we're looking at ushers and greeters, communion, parking attendants, prayer ministry, praise and worship. And praise and worship will have more people in it. We have the book table selling CDs, DVDs. We have the children's youth and nursery, these ministries, audiovisual, sound department, building maintenance, cleaning department, administration office, events management, lost and found, culinary department, outreach person to the prisons, to men and women prisons. Maybe one day we'll have an outreach church. There are many people that are afflicted by drug addictions. There's many people that need help. There's gang members. There's their families. There's a youth that get involved very young. Years ago, we had a young fellow stay with us, and he was very mixed up. He had a hard time. We had him for a couple years, but he seemed to calm down and listen to me. I remember the police officers came to our house and asked, he says, he wants to come back to your house. But at that time, I was taking care of my mother with dementia, and I said, I can't do it. And I said, he's a good boy. He said, well, he went on to say in the realm, but we can't calm him down. I said, well, he was okay with me. I don't know. But they couldn't calm him down. Anyways, eventually, I took him to Christian counseling and different things. And some spirits did pop out of him. But he landed up with the wrong crowd again. And what happened was, he was someplace in the Forks, and I don't know exactly what happened. They took someone in a car, and he shot him at Lockport, dead, a young man. He phoned me. When I was in jail, not in jail, but when I used to visit him at Youth Center, not the Youth Center, downtown, there was a jail there. I went there. He phoned me, and he says, I killed someone. I said, you killed someone? Yeah, and he was all happy. I said, no, this can't be. You know, you shouldn't be this way. He didn't even have the conscience to know that that was wrong. There are people walking around like this. Eventually, he's now been in jail 17 years for murder. And what happened is, you know, they said he's got schizophrenia, and they're giving him treatments. And he's called off and on, and Lord have mercy upon him. He might be getting out soon, and I don't know where he would go. I'm not sure what jail he's in. He must be about maybe 41 years old now. And he got to be, to send a picture, he's a big guy. He used to be my height, and now he looks like he's 6'3 or something. But anyways, what happened is me and Paul and myself got through to him, and he received the love of God. It's not always your call to have someone living with you. Maybe you just need to visit them in prison as the Lord leads you, you know, because there's different situations, and the Lord knows what you can handle. And there's different seasons in your life, too, when you may have children come and live with you, and there's other seasons that it's just not fit at that time. So I'm not saying to have now all kinds of people moving in with you at all. Anything like that is the Lord's doing. You pray about it if you start sensing something in your spirit. So as we come together, we have the corporate body and individual bodies in Christ. The individual ones are us. That's where we're responsible for doing the things that please the Lord. The corporate body works together as a whole, and it shall be like an oil, well-oiled machine, everything running in direct order to what it should be done. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, we walk in truth at all times. We are on the uncompromising word of God. We do not sway back and forth. Narrow is the path to life. Wide is the world to destruction. In the name of Jesus. If I look at, I was reading the other day, 2 Corinthians. And this is Apostle Paul. He sent an epistle to the Corinthian church. They had so much problems. There was Jews and Greeks and Romans, all mixed up faiths and traditions. And he had to get through to them about the love of Christ. It took time. But he says here at the end of his epistle, he says, therefore, I write these things being absent. So he was not present. He says, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Sometimes when the pastor is speaking, or Pastor Maria, or apostle, it almost seems like they're coming down hard on you. But it's sharpness of the Spirit for edification to bring correction to you in a certain area. Sometimes God speaks, that's the way God speaks to you. So you feel something like cutting into you. The Lord wants to change something in you, and it's between you and the Lord. He's not telling anybody else. It's you and the Lord. And then it says, for edification, not to destruction. So that's where we come in, the narrow road and the wide road to destruction. So we thank you, Father God, for this time in the Lord, that your purposes have been done for this day in prayer. We thank you, Father God. We come to you and we bow our heads. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we love you. I would just, to end this whole thing, this whole message, it was a short message. It has to do with our pastors. They are so loving. They have tender hearts. They love the congregation. They love the congregation, and they teach the pure word of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You have sent Apostle Mike and Pastor Maria all the way from Nigeria for this day, that we are partakers of something happening in Ukraine, that we are coming together as a corporate body to do the right things in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, we do not fall by the wayside. We get up and we continue on. We have our brothers and our sisters to help us get up when things are going wrong. We are the ministry of the church. We thank you, Father God. Oh, Jesus, when I got the letter from Pastor Zeno, the letters are going out, being partners with them in the church for the commission to reach the nations to the world. It says, Mama and I love you. And I read it. I've read it many times when it comes, but this time it was different. So I thank you, Father God. We're going to say yes, yes, and amen. The time is up. But praise the Lord, we have accomplished purpose in the realm of the Spirit. Amen.
Me, I almost forgot. So we're just going to pray a prayer of comfort for Sister Catherine Cramble. So you can stand where you are. We'll just lift you before God. The mother just moved to glory. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
She lived a long and healthy life. 98 years old. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right, Sister Catherine? 98. Glory to God. There is long life in this family.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for Sister Catherine Cramble. Amen. We lift her before you. We thank you, God, that she's been a wonderful daughter. Before the father moved to glory, she took care of him. Before the mother moved to glory, she took care of her. Father, we bless her this morning.
Amen.
Lift her hands up. Strengthen her. Amen. Comfort her and her family. As they mourn for their mother, give them peace. Strengthen them, O God. They will not mourn as people who have no hope. The blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ be with them. Yes. Strengthen them. Save the entire family.
Yes, Lord.
Bring peace and unity. Bring your perfect love into the family.
Amen.
Thank you, Almighty God. We thank God for the mother. She always came here and always smiling. Lord, strengthen her.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you have received her into your bosom. Lord, bless the family. And every family that's of Glory and Peace Church, there's long life and prosperity in this house.
Amen.
And among the family of God. We celebrate life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, that's yours. God is good. Amen. It's a joy to watch the little ones and see how they're responding to God. You know, I was watching, you know, as Mama concluded with the amen, there was a loud amen, and I looked, and this little one took the Bible and put it over her head. I said, wow, that's deep, that's deep. That's deep. Yeah. The word of God on my life. Praise God. How many of you want to know about God's purpose for your life? You want to? Maybe, okay. Since you said you want to, I will share it with you. Somebody say one purpose. One primary purpose. Sunday night last, I shared a word with us. If you weren't here, I do hope that you listened to it online. And I sincerely thought that was it. But as I was leaving, the Lord said, revisit that subject. So I said, Lord, when? He said, Sunday morning. Let as many as should hear this word hear it. So this morning, I want to revisit what I shared with you last Sunday night, but I don't guarantee that it's going to be the same thing. Amen? So even though you might have been here last Sunday night, or you may have listened online, assume nothing. What did I say? Assume nothing. God's purpose for my life as a believer. What's God's purpose for my life? As a child of God, what is God's purpose for my life? Some have mistaken their professional occupation as their purpose. That's not. Some have aligned the purpose of their life to their destiny. There is one purpose. There is one. Purpose. It is the primary purpose. their life to their destiny. There is one purpose. There is one purpose. It is the primary purpose. So come with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. I'm going to need a lot of help from the back today so I can move fast, because I have lots of scriptures to share with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the words of the what? The words of the what? The words of the what? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice the declarations here and who it is that is making the declaration. The declaration has been made by the wisest of all. The Bible says he had the wisdom of God. God gave him wisdom. And he says himself, first and foremost, I'm a preacher. The son of David, that is his pedigree. That is the family that he came through. King in Jerusalem, that is his platform. Are you with me? But he is first and foremost the preacher. He's a son of David, and his platform that he uses to proclaim the word is that he is king. Are you with me? Your platform may be a nurse, doctor, engineer, chef, whatever. That's your platform. The family you came from is the family you came from. But the first and foremost thing about you is that you are a preacher. Everyone here. I'm a preacher. You are a preacher. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 12. This is what he says. I, the preacher, was king. The preacher was king. But I continued. I don't know if you're with me. If he says was, we know that he continued to be king until he died. But he's saying, I, the preacher, was king. Meaning that even when I'm not king, I'm still a preacher. That doesn't change. I want you to understand who it is that you are. You are a preacher. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, this is the last chapter. Verse 8, he's wrapping up and he says, vanity of vanities, said the what? Said the king, the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was what? The preacher was what? He that winneth souls is what? Wise. So if you are not a preacher who is winning souls, you are not what? And if you are not wise, you are what? I didn't say it, you said it. It's just the point that if you are not wise, you're foolish. And who is foolish? It is the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. And when you do not believe in God or his word, you are foolish. But when you believe the word of God, you have no choice but to preach, because you know that whatever God said is the truth. Hallelujah. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of what? Truth. The preacher. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and verse 38. Matthew 1, and what a minute, what did I do here? Anyway, the verse I'm looking for, and I've noted it wrongly, simply says, Jesus said that the reason he came was to preach. Amen? Jesus came to do what? Preach. Hallelujah. What did I say Jesus came to do? Preach. Mark 1 and verse 38. Yeah. For whatever reason, my Bible wasn't opening to Mark 1:38. But it's there. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I what? I came forth to do what? Preach. Number one reason. Before Jesus saves, he said, my number one reason is to preach. Yes, he came to save. Yes, he came to do all of that. But he tells us himself, for therefore came I forth. To do what? Preach. I didn't come to just preach in one place. I came to preach everywhere. I must continue to do what my assignment is, and it is to preach. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark 3:14. He says, and he ordained 12 that they should be what? With him. raise up and ordain 12, that they may be with him. Why? And that he might send them what? Forth to preach. Are you getting the point? That is his purpose. Even for them to be with him. You want to spend time with God? The reason he wants you to hang around him is so that you can go out and do what? Preach. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. Luke 4, 43. And he said unto them, I must what? Preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Why was I sent? To preach. I thought he was sent to deliver us from all evil. Yes. But how is he going to do it? Preach. Are we on the same page? The engine is revving. Okay, now we're going to start taxiing. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to. Are you getting the point? He has anointed me to what? Preach. That is my purpose. The purpose of the anointing, yes, it is to destroy yokes and to remove burdens. But first and foremost, it is to preach. So I must ask myself, am I fulfilling my purpose? The reason why I'm here. The reason God anointed me. Am I doing what God called me to do? Am I, well, God wants me to be a worshiper. And God says, do you know the place where he talks about God is seeking worshipers? He was doing one thing. He was preaching. You're not a true worshiper of God if you're not a preacher. So, Pastor, this is getting really hard. I asked you before I started, do you want to know your purpose? So now I'm talking about purpose. God anointed me to preach the gospel. Yes, to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are what? Bruised. Verse 19. To preach. Are we getting the point? I'm a what? Preacher. I am a preacher. Solomon got that right. I'm a preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. King in Jerusalem is his platform. I'm a preacher. Son of Edwin Eniwo Edukore, a pastor, an evangelist, that's my platform. A prophet, that's my platform. An apostle, that's my platform. A teacher, that's my platform. A businessman, that's my platform. A doctor, that's my platform. That's the place where I am launching out from. a preacher, son of so-and-so, an IT engineer. That's your platform. Whatever it is that you are doing, I'm a lawyer. That's your platform. I'm an astronaut. That's your platform. I'm a housewife. That's your platform. That's where God wants you to function from. Because he's got to have somebody everywhere. Amen. I'm a janitor. That's your platform. But first and foremost, you are a preacher. That's it. In Isaiah 61 and verse 1, from whence we got Luke chapter 4. And 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. He hath anointed me. He hath anointed me. He hath anointed me to preach. The reason for the anointing is so that you what? Preach. The reason for the anointing is not so that you have goosebumps. So that you preach. God, I want to be anointed. Why do you want my anointing? Yeah, I want it so I can heal the sick. And God said, that's very good. But first of all, I want you to be a preacher. And from your preaching, these other things, signs and wonders, follow the preaching. Do not preaching. We're not together. In Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous, which is the fruit of the Spirit ultimately, is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So you see the fruit, you see the tree. And what is this fruit and the tree? He that winneth souls is what? Wise. So the fruit of the righteous are souls that are won to God. That we do whatever it is that we must do to make sure that souls come to God. Souls that come to God are souls that have been removed from the claws of the enemy. We've got to depopulate hell and populate heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verse... Let's look at verse 2 first. Luke 9 and 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Those two go together. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 9 and verse 60. Luke 9, 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and do what? Preach the kingdom of God. So the dead, let them bury the dead. Go preach the king. Go preach. Is that serious? I can't hang around this. Go preach. That's your assignment. Didn't call you here to bury people. Go preach. That's why many years ago, when a dear daughter of the Lord, blessed memory, Sister Esmeralda Clark, she said, "Pastor, I want to go home." I said, "No, you can't." "So I want to die." I said, "I don't have time to bury you. So you can't die until I'm ready. I have places to go and preach." And one afternoon, I'm sitting in my family room on Lindcrest at that time. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Okay, concerning Sister Esmeralda Clark, Father, I have a week before I go out again. Do what you want to do." Within 30 minutes, the woman that was busy chatting with the nurse and everything, within 30 minutes, from the time I released her, she closed her eyes. It was not until I was ready and we put her to rest, and the next day we were on the plane flying out. Because God didn't call me to be a burial of people. Called me to what? Preach. It's the first thing. That's the first thing. And I thank God every day for the grace that He's granted. I know people die. And a dear daughter of the Lord lost the mom just this last week. But that is not our primary purpose. We're supposed to live as long as we want to. Hallelujah. But the one thing we cannot do without is preaching. That's my assignment. That is the calling of God upon my life, upon your life. It is to what? Preach. Every opportunity you've got, drop a word in there. Tell somebody about the goodness of God. Tell somebody about the kingdom of God. Tell somebody about the awesomeness of the God you serve. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every day, find an opportunity to say something. In Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. Acts 14, 15. Acts 14, 15. And saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities." Remember what the preacher said, vanity of vanities? "That you turn from these vanities unto the living God." That's what we're preaching. Turn from vanities, things that don't really matter altogether, and turn to the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Turn to God, the one who is in control of everything. They seek you first. The kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and every other thing shall be what? Added unto you. Whatever it is that the world is scrambling for, it's going to be added to you. But you got to put first things first. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith. So that's what we preach. We preach the word of faith. We don't preach the word of unbelief. We preach the kingdom of God. We preach the word of faith. Romans 10, 13 through 15. Romans 10, 13. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him? Watch this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not what? Believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. So if we want them to come to salvation, we got to do the first thing. Preach. Preach. There's got to be a preacher. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Acts, the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden, watch this, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to what? Preach the word in Asia. Why are they forbidden? Because they knew that they were supposed to keep on preaching. And they kept on going and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go yet. When last did the Lord stop you from preaching? Or is he dragging you all the time? Go, 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 go. These guys were going and they were stopped because the word of God is go. Go. Oh, I need to be led. It didn't say I need to be led. It said go. That is your lead. Go. Hallelujah. Just go. I need to know which place to go to. Just go. If I don't want you to go there, I will stop you. But if I don't stop you, you're meant to go. Praise the Lord. So the question is this. Will you go globally or locally preaching the gospel in partnership with God? See, there is that which we call the Great Commission. And I'll share that with you in a moment. But in that Great Commission where God says, go into all the world, he is not giving us a commission. He's saying, I'm going to be your partner or co-mission. Co-missionary with you. God is not sending us without help available. This is so deeply ingrained in the message of the Word of God to us as His people that Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 16. This is so heavy that Paul makes this statement. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For for necessity is laid upon me. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Can you imagine how heavy that is? He says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. This is a necessity. This is absolutely necessary that I preach the gospel. So, Pastor, what are you saying to us? I'm saying the assignment and calling is not just to me as a full-time minister, but to you as a full-time minister. We are all full-time ministers. I don't know if you're getting it. We are all full-time preachers. We may be preaching from different platforms, but we are all the same. Full-time. That's your calling. That's your purpose. I don't care whether you're a lawyer, a businessman, a businesswoman, a roofer, a plumber, an electrician, a doctor, an engineer, a surgeon, a politician. You're a preacher. Daniel was a politician, wasn't he? But was he a preacher? Yeah. Doesn't matter what you are, what you do, that's just a platform you've got. Make use of your platform. And when God gives you a platform and you're not using it to preach the gospel, I don't want to tell you what can happen. So that you don't say, Pastor swore over my life. No. But your platform is your platform. Don't spend your time decorating your platform without you using your platform for its real purpose. Some people have their platform framed on the wall. God says, I want you to use that thing that you put on the wall and use it as your platform to preach. Oh, God has blessed me. I've made lots of money. And God says, good. Preach. Use it to preach. Are we getting it? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Now, this is going to go a little bit dark for a moment, but we're going to come back to life. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. So we're not just preaching for preaching's sake. We're preaching what God's word says. Amen? It says, though we or an angel. Don't care if even an angel. And that angel came from heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed. Do you understand that the only time that Paul actually used a word that has to do with judgment had to do with the preaching of the gospel. He says, woe is me if I don't preach. Now he says, let anybody who comes and preaches something else other than the truth of the word of God, I don't care if it's an angel that just arrived, just landed, and the wings are still there and everything, not that angels have to have wings. You understand what I mean? He said, don't buy into it. Tell that angel you are cursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man, what? Preach any other gospel. This is verily, verily, verily. Unto you, than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Wow. Why is the preaching of the gospel important? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, make this statement. Ezekiel 3, 17 through 19, and actually I'll take it up to verse 21. Ezekiel 3, starting to read from verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. You can replace that word watchman with the word preacher. Unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. That's key. Every preacher must hear the word of God from God's mouth. Before I come to share with you, I have to talk to God and say, God, what do you want to say? So whatever it is you're hearing from me right now is what God wants to say. Amen? This is, and that's why I can declare it boldly, because I know God said. If I didn't know, then I'll be preaching my own stuff. And that would not be the truth. He says, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. So the preacher is saying what God is saying. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at whose hand? At thine hand, because he did not tell them. I remember many months ago, close to a year now, I suppose, I stood here, and I began to declare what God was saying about New York. I don't live in New York. I've been in New York maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. That's it. But God was saying something right here from this pulpit, from this platform. One in New York about what is coming to New York, about how the economy was going to start to collapse there because of the attitude of leaders in that land. Well, if you're listening to the news, you know what's happening in New York. People are fleeing from New York. Just like God said from here. Well, if I didn't speak the word of warning, then, God says, I become responsible. Things will still happen, but you are responsible because you did not forewarn. At about that time, the governor said that the whole situation with COVID, that God had nothing to do with it. He did it. I took care of it. And it hit the fan. God warned. Guys, watch it. The word was so strong, he said, if they don't stop it, that the center of economy, the financial center that New York is, was going to shift off from New York. Now that is serious. Is it beginning to happen? It's beginning to happen already. But people sometimes are not smart. Why did I say what I said? I said it because I heard from the mouth of God. So I said what God was saying. I cannot take credit for it, because it was all God. Amen? Nice verse. Yet if thou warn the wicked, if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Huh? You mean that my preaching brings about my deliverance? Yippee, you got it. You set yourself free by preaching. Next verse. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness. So here, the preaching is not just to the ungodly, or rather to the non-believer. It is to the one who is godly and is beginning to act ungodly. He says again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning. So stumbling blocks are removed from people's lives because preachers speak the word of God and say, this is what God's word is saying. And because of that, there's no need for a stumbling block. And in this case, it says a stumbling block causes people to die. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Because you saw him doing the wrong thing and you said nothing. Next verse. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is what? Warned. And that's the role of the preacher. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So not only is he delivered, you also are delivered because of the what? Preaching. Let me leave that alone. Come with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. How do we get to preach? Talked about the word of God coming to us. He says, here Paul says, and I went up by what? Revelation. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. I went up by revelation. Now, that means that by revelation we are elevated to begin to speak the word of God, to be true representatives of God. He says, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Let's go further. What does the Lord say to us? In Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because I have all the power given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And what? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God is saying, listen, I'm going to be with you. So, God, I want you to be with me. And God says, go preach. That's how you're going to have to be. I cannot be separated from the preacher. Amen? God cannot be separated from the preacher. So if you want God to be with you in everything that you do, preach. That's wisdom. Mark 16. This is very key. Mark 16, beginning to read from verse 15 through 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. 17. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. I want you to notice that. These signs shall follow them that what? Believe. What did they believe? The word that you preached. He says, these signs shall follow them. I know the signs follow the preacher, but God is saying, these signs shall follow them that believe, because everybody that hears the word of God is meant to what? Preach. So he says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Them, the ones that believe, shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, wow. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not, what? Hurt them. Which people? The people that are preachers. This is not a promise to people who are sitting on their behinds doing nothing. The promise about you drinking any deadly thing and it not hurting you is a promise to preachers that believe. You want to hear the truth, right? That's all you're going to hear from me. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is the sign that follow believers. And the believers are supposed to be preachers. Because every believer is a preacher. And every preacher must tell the believer that he is supposed to preach the same thing. Go. 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Sat down at the right hand of God. And guess who else is seated at the right hand of God? We are believers, preachers. In Christ Jesus, we're seated. He says, because Jesus now is seated at the right hand of God, they went forth and did what? Did what? Say it again. They went forth and preached in some places. Everywhere, the Lord working with them, the preachers. The Lord is working with them and is in heaven? Yes. And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Wow. Are we getting it? Luke 10. Let me begin to wrap this. Luke 10, 16 to 20. Same scenario. He that heareth you, this is important. God is saying here, listen, I didn't tell you that you're going to convert them. I just told you to go tell them. He says, and whoever hears you, hears me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Who sent him? The Father. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Hallelujah. Devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Who is he speaking to? Preachers. Hello? I hope you're getting it. 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that these things are subject to you, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. These are my partners. Therefore, the name is written. Guess what? He said he's going to blot certain people's names out. Is that not what it says? It says, blot their names. Your name cannot be blotted out if it was not written. So in essence, I know this is very heavy. Hello? But I dare say to you, if you are not focused on being wise and being a preacher of the word of God, you're playing Russian roulette with your salvation. I know some people are going to be pulling their hair on that one. But get the point. Get the point. Get the point. In Luke 21, verse 15 through 18, he tells us, listen, I'm not telling you that this is going to be easy. You're going to go through some rough times, but don't worry. He says, for I will give you a what? A mouth. I'm going to give you a mouth. And what? Wisdom. I'm going to give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries, all of your enemies, shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. He says, ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. However, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Oh, my Lord. Maybe I need to revisit this whole segment again by itself. Because if I start on that right now, I'm going to keep you for another hour, and I don't want to do that. But notice he started out by saying in verse 16, he says, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsmen and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And then he ends in verse 20. or rather 18. For there shall not an hair of your head perish. How do we have both? That's where I'm going to have to spend some time to explain that. Because basically, this is it. They can hurt your body, but they cannot hurt your soul when you're a preacher of the word. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to God. Amen? Hallelujah. James 1 and verse 25. James 1, 25, God tells us something very interesting. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. When you look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the perfect law of love, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You see something interesting there? He not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. But it didn't say word, it says work. This man shall be blessed in his deed, because the word of God becomes the works of God in your life. God says, don't be a forgetful hearer. You hear the word of God, proclaim it. Go tell it. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's come and he's Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. In Luke 6, 45 through 49, Luke 6, 45 to 49, this is what the word of God says. Remember where we started from, the fruit, the tree of life. Yes? A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of their heart, his mouth speaketh. So the preacher has to be full of the word of God to preach. Jeremiah puts it this way. He says, it's like fire in my bones. I cannot help but preach. Amen? And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So you're calling me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I said. And what was the last thing he said for us to do? Go, preach. So you're calling me Lord, but you don't do what I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. It's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, could not shake it, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Wow. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. And finally, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And remember what I said, first primary purpose is to do what? Preach. Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, watch this. This is very interesting because we are going to be, and I need to revisit this particular passage again as I'm going to do with the other one. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That sounds like preaching to me. And in thy name have cast out devils. That sounds like a preacher to me. Because that's part of the signs that follow them that believe, right? And in thy name done many wonderful works. That sounds like a preacher to me. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Oh. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh. What is that all about? This is a person that's professing to be representing God that is not following the mandate of God. So it's not just about, it's about doing what God says to do. I'm going to come back to this because this is a scary one. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The one who comes, hears my words, and does them. That's the reason why I have to talk and consult with Father and say, what do you want to say? What is it that you want to say? 25. He says, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Wow. 28. Came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He was not wishy-washy on this. He was right, straight center. And child of God, let me end this session by saying this to us. Our purpose is to preach. Ultimately, your preaching is your demonstration of love, not only towards God, to yourself and to other people. Amen? And everything that we want to do, we must do in that vein. Now, we may not all be able to go to the ends of the earth, but we can all pull our resources together to make sure that somebody is sent. Amen? But whether you are sending or not, you still have the assignment to preach. You still have the assignment to do what? Preach. Have no fear of man. Just communicate the gospel. Say, but I don't know what to say. He said, I'm going to fill your mouth. And let me say this way. Preaching the gospel doesn't mean that you hose them down one shot. No. Preaching the gospel, sometimes it might just be you starting out by befriending, inviting that co-worker to your house or for coffee, and chat about baseball, chat about whatever it is, and sneak something in. To, you know, this has been a wonderful time, you know, just fellowshipping with you outside the office. Now, how's your family? Is there anything you want me to pray about? Because I believe God is a God who can meet all of our needs. Sometimes, you know, you might have all the money, but money can buy everything. Money can buy real true peace of mind. And I just want you to know that I'm here. I have a relationship with God, and I want to pray with you and pray for you and stand by you and be of help to you. Whatever it is, just slide it in. Just slide it in. And let God begin to work at it. You know, if you have a little grain of sand in your shoe, every year going, you want to get that grain out. Put a grain in there that will make them cry out to God. Whatever it is you need to do, just be the preacher. When you wake up every day, say, God, who is it that you want me to minister to today? I know you said you will be with me. And Lord, I just need your presence. And use me today. So you go to the mall, you're in the grocery store, you wherever it is that you are, you're ministering. You see somebody down the street as you're driving, and you're praying and you're releasing the word of God. It's part of your preaching. Because you're sending the word of God as an evil-seeking missile to dismantle every activity of the enemy in that life. Because it is not everybody that you are going to be able to reach. But there's somebody that's been assigned by God to connect with that person. And you are making the way smooth, ready for that person. So that when that person comes, the fruit is ripe. And, you know, when fruit is ripe, you don't have to pull hard. Sometimes just blowing on it, it will fall in your hand. Hallelujah. Did you receive the word of the Lord? Amen. You get the point? Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Lord, you said you will make us fishers of men. You said you will build your church, and the gates of hell will not and cannot prevail over your church. We've received your word today as words of love, not judgment. Words that won, not words that tear down. We receive your words, and we are confident that the truth of your word will cause us all to walk in divine freedom. We leave this place today knowing who it is we are, what we've been called and purposed to do. We know that you've called us to be preachers. And Lord, we are asking, oh God, that the grace to be effective preachers be bestowed upon us, that we will be effective in bringing healing and deliverance to the people that you've assigned us to. We receive our calling. We receive our mandate. And we say, Lord, let thy kingdom come, your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. For we celebrate your goodness now and always. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, that was good preaching. God is good all the time. it's time for giving out our tithes and our offerings. But the one thing that the Lord showed me one time was that when he came on earth, he became poor. He used to be in heaven. They say that he became poor so that we could be saved. But he came down from heaven. Heavenly place is place to be. It's perfect place, beautiful place. He became poor when he came on earth. When they crucified him, he still had a robe that had no seams. That was a wealthy sign. So don't be afraid of being wealthy. Don't be afraid to give, because God rewards the givers. He loves cheerful givers. And I thank you for, I pray, Father God, that you bless all these people that give with abundance so that they can give more. All in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to preach the gospel with your money as well.
To 20, and also John 6, 48 to 58. You can sit down, please. Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. And when he was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, which with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffered. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So in the kingdom of God, we will have opportunity to take, to eat, but we will not go to the washroom after we've eaten. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he broke and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The cup is the New Testament, is in the blood of Jesus Christ, which is shed for you. Behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me. on the table. John 6. I am the bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread who came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore murmured through among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I want to read that again. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in the context of supper. They were eating, they were seated down, eating meal. And when the meal was almost over, he took the bread, he broke it and gave it to his disciple. And then he took also the cup, his one cup. He blessed it and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. We cannot drink from one cup because we're more than 12 here. So this is appropriate. And so we're going to open. Share the bread. As you take this bread, representing the flesh of the Son of God, and as you put it into your mouth and eat it, I desire, and the Word of God also says that whatever we have in our body that is disturbing us that the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ will minister to us, and eventually that thing will go away. So, which means that we are not supposed to take communion only in church. You are to take it in your family, either you're living by yourself with your wife, or you have children, at the table where you eat meal, break bread and drink this blood, the blood of Jesus and the flesh of Jesus, and healing will come to you. I'm not the one saying that, it's the Lord saying that. Let us practice the communion beyond this place. And so let's take this bread and let's eat it. He took the cup, he gave thanks, and blessed it. And so this is the cup representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not take it lightly. Do not take it for granted. It's powerful. It's awesome. As we take this cup, as we drink his body, his blood, all that we have that is troubling us, aching in our body, as we do this often, the disease, the sickness, the pain, or whatever, we vanish in the name of Jesus. Let us drink. Father, I thank you that we have partaken of the flesh and of the blood. We receive healing. We receive ministry from the hand of the Spirit of God. All that challenge us will fall as we participate and take the flesh and the blood. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.